Thank you, Lord. Thank you for bringing us here together today. Thank you for more folks being here today. I am so grateful that you have brought us together, that you have allowed us to overcome the fear and to go ahead and be together as you intended. And we trust, Lord, in your protection. We trust that whatever happens, you remain in control, and that you are going to use it for your glory as we belong to you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have done and for what you are about to do. Open our hearts to hear your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, the first thing I need to do, since I failed to mention anything on the blog this past week even, is extend a public thank you to Don and for taking care of the message last week. I finally got to listen to it on Friday, and it was a very complete description of Christian theology from creation to the apocalypse. So, if you missed that, everything you need to know is right there. Also to Don and to Brenda for coming by, for picking up the recorder so that I could at least get the audio available. And that worked out pretty well, so appreciate that.
Yes.
You ever ask yourself the question, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things behind that question sometimes. You know, we're asking questions like, is this really necessary? Do I really need to do this? Is it the right thing to do? Does it really matter if I do this or not? Because, frankly, I'd rather not. But there are many reasons why we might be doing whatever it is that we're doing. It could be familiarity. We just always did it that way. So we keep on. Or it's tradition. It's been that way for years. We're just going to keep on with it. Or perhaps it's an obligation, whether real or perceived. You feel like you have to.
Sure.
Or maybe in some cases somebody's forcing you to do it in some way. Or in some cases maybe we do it for love. Because we want to please somebody, because we want to please the Lord, because we are wanting to do good for the people that we care about, or for our Lord. But it's a good question to be asking. Linda likes to use those two questions. What are you doing and why are you doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good question to ask, because sometimes the answer can change your life. It'll either strengthen your resolve or allow you to move on and do things better. But there are things that we might want to consider. Is it a matter of faithfulness? Is the obligation real and appropriate? Is it something we really ought to be doing? Did you make a promise that now you need to keep? Sometimes it's a matter of obedience. God said to do it, and so we do it. But I've got another question for you. What if the reason is one that you can't see?
Mm-hmm.
We're being watched. We know this, especially if we're at all vocal, if people have any idea who we are, and hopefully they do. We're being watched, and I think about this a lot lately. I've been thinking about it in terms of work. You know, sometimes I get involved. If you, some of us are familiar with guide dogs, and One of the things you learn about guide dogs is they're taught to engage in what's called intelligent disobedience. And what that is you know, if the owner says forward, but there's a car coming, or there's a hole in the road, or whatever the case may be, the dog is trained to stop and not do what they're told to do. Well, I like to claim intelligent disobedience sometimes. Like I'm doing something that needs to be done the way I'm doing it instead of the way they want me to do it.
Right.
But, and I'm not shy about expressing my thoughts.
Amen.
But what I think that I have failed to consider in those situations is maybe the impact that what I'm doing might have on other people down the road. Because we do things, you know, we do things the way we do them for a certain reason. And you know, whether I like the reason or not, it doesn't matter. I'm not the one in charge.
Right.
And so I need to do things the way I'm expected to do them. Because I'm hurting my witness when I do that. I'm showing up as somebody who doesn't follow the rules, who's a rebel, who doesn't really believe do what he says he believes. And you know, I can rationalize that all I want, but it's something that I think about now. And it's changing the way that I respond to things. Maybe not enough, but I'm getting there. But our actions impact people around us, even when we don't realize it.
That's true.
And God might be doing something through you that you can't even see. We're going to talk about a family today that you probably might not have ever heard of unless you thoroughly read your Bible. You might not even know who these people are. But they are the sons of a man called, and I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but I'm going to say Rechab. Or the Rechabites. And they were a family who remained faithful to the commandment of one of their ancestors. And they ended up being a part of the legacy of Scripture for us all to learn from because they did what they were asked to do. Okay, so who is this guy? Rechab was a Kenite, and these were the people that were they were friendly with Israel. They lived in the land before Israel came. They are related to Moses through marrying Jethro's daughter there. When he fled Egypt and he came into that land and. Met this group and became you know became the tender of the sheep there. Jethro gave one of his daughters became his father-in-law. We know the story there. But that's how these people are related. And another name that we're going to see here when we read is the name of Jochebed. If you look, this is in Jeremiah 35. You can be looking, if you didn't have a chance to look before, you can look at Jeremiah 35, and you can read the whole story, because we're going to pick up in the middle of it. But he is, Jochebed actually has a history. He is the one who assisted King Jehu. If you remember Jehu's story, he was the one who went up against Ahab, was anointed by the prophet. He went up against Ahab and killed Jezebel, or had Jezebel. You know, Jezebel was killed as a result of his prompting. And he rid the land of Baal worship and cleared out the worshipers of Baal in the temple there that they had built. But anyway, that's another story. But that's who this guy is. And for whatever reason, he commanded his descendants that you can't drink wine, and you can't build your own, don't build a house, and don't plant anything. In other words, don't do anything that would tie you in some way to the land. Now, some say that he was just trying to preserve the culture of those nomadic people. And I'm going to offer my opinion now. I don't have anything other than general knowledge of Scripture to back this up. But I think there's more going on here. I think, because it says, in part, as they're repeating back what he told them, it says that you may live many days in the land where you sojourn. And I think what's going on with that is that Jonadab is acknowledging this land is not ours. It doesn't belong to us. Don't try to take possession here. This is God's land for God's people. It's been given to them. And over 200 years, this family lived like he instructed them to live. And it would seem that that would be against their best interests. Because it means that they're essentially homeless. They don't have they can't put down roots anywhere. They have to live in this nomadic fashion. And there are other ways, there are other ways too. There were bands of traders back then that did that as a way of life. It wasn't that they, had to be destitute or anything, but they were limited in what they could do. It didn't involve God's law. There was no law that said they had to live like that. In fact, these are not even Jews. But they were, in fact, following one of the Ten Commandments. Anybody want to guess which one? Honor your father and your mother. So let's get into the word. I'll provide you a little bit more context here. This is in Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah is prophesying during the time that covers the deportation, the conquering and the deportation of Israel and Judah into Babylon. Well, Israel, the northern kingdom's already been carried away beforehand, but Babylon is now coming through. They're eventually going to get to Jerusalem and take over there too. But this takes place under King Jehoiakim, who is the son of Josiah. Josiah, you might remember, is the one who instituted reforms, one of the greatest reformers that the southern kingdom had, came in and destroyed. In fact, he was the one, if you remember back when the Northern Kingdom first split off, we studied a while back about the rebellion of Jeroboam against King Solomon's son and how they split off and made their own kingdom. And there was a prophet. We looked into that prophet who said, someday King Josiah is going to come. He's going to destroy this altar to this golden calf. And that's exactly what Josiah did. This is his son now. He actually had, there was another son, but the king of Egypt came in, took him out, and put this guy, Jehoiakim, in his place. And changed his name from Eliakim to Jehoiakim. I'm sure there's some history there, but we don't have time to go on that rabbit trail today. But Pharaoh came in and set up there. So they're living now under Egypt. They're soon going to be under Babylon. Right now, they're under the control of Egypt. But God gave Jeremiah a strange command. This story has always kind of puzzled me a little bit. Not puzzled me, just kind of struck me as odd. Although it's not near as odd as some of the other things that he had the prophets do. And he had Ezekiel lay on his side for 3 years, and then lay on the other side. I might not have the timing right on that, but a long time, and cook his food over cow dung. He had Isaiah go around naked and barefoot. So I suppose, in the scheme of things, this was not particularly strange, but it always caught my attention. But he commanded Jeremiah to bring this family into the temple, into one of the side rooms there in the temple. Now these are foreigners. And he commanded him to serve them wine. And these are foreigners, as I've mentioned, that are being brought into the temple. Now they're not being brought into the holy place. They're not being brought anywhere that they're technically not supposed to be. But still, I imagine this would be considered an honor. Especially based on what God says to them that we're going to read here in a minute. But he offers them the wine and they refuse. And the reason they refuse, they cite Jonadab's command that we just talked about. But they're not intimidated by their surroundings into changing the resolve. Just because they've been brought into the temple, they've been honored in this way, this famous prophet has hosted them and served them. They're not going to bend. They're not cowed by the situation. They're standing firm. No, our fathers told us not to do this. We're not going to do it. They're in Jerusalem. They were up in the northern kingdom. They're in Jerusalem because of the Babylonian conquest as they're coming through. That's the setting, and that's where we're going to pick up reading, because God is now going to use these faithful people as an example, these faithful Gentile people as an example to the rest of his flock there in Judah. And we're going to start reading in verse 12. And I have really struggled with this, so I'm going to ask for some help in reading this. And Priscilla, since you need to stay awake, would you mind doing that for me?
And the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, go and say to the people of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, can you not learn a lesson to listen to my words, declares Yahweh. The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, that he commanded his descendants not to drink. It's kind of blurred out. Okay. And it just says, have been carried out. And have they not drunk until this day, for they have obeyed the command of their ancestor? But I have spoken to you over and over again, and you have not listened to me. And I have sent to you all my servants, the prophets. I have sent them over and over again, saying, turn back, pleases each one from his evil way, and amend your deeds, and... and not go after other gods to serve them, so that you may live on the land that I gave to you and to your ancestors. But you did not incline your ear, and you did not listen to me. For the descendants of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, have carried out the command of their ancestor that he commanded them, but this people did not listen to me. Therefore, thus says Yahweh, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, look, I am going to bring to Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem every disaster that I have spoken against them, because I have spoken to them and they have not listened, and have called to them and they have not answered. But to the house of the Rehobite, whatever they're called, Jeremiah, Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have listened to the command of Jonadab, your ancestor, and you have kept all his commands, and you have done all that he commanded you. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel, a man will not be cut off from Jonadab, the son of Rechab, to stand before me always.
Amen.
That was difficult. Thank you so much, Pastor.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But you see now why I wanted somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
See
that clearly.
Praise God. Well, you see this family who is now being used as an example to the rest of the nation there by God because of their faithfulness. Because they heeded the word of their father. Even though it would seem like it was maybe not a good idea. After all, we've already said it didn't directly involve any legal thing according to the Jewish law, and they're not Jews anyway. But they kept the commandments of their father. They didn't keep one of the commandments, as we said. They kept the commandment to honor your father and mother. But Judah and Israel, God says, didn't listen. But they have a command. First of all, they have a command from their father, Abraham, who had the covenant with Yahweh in the first place. They didn't listen to the law of Moses that was given by their heavenly father. They were engaged in all kinds of wickedness, all kinds of idol worship. And, you know, idol worship is idol worship, but, you know, we talked a little bit about in the past what some of this idol worship was like. How they sacrificed their own children, burn them alive in this idol. Just awful, evil things that were involved in some of this idol worship, not to mention the sensual misconduct that went along with the idol worship. But there is a judgment to come. And God says, if you're not going to listen, if you're not going to listen to the law, the worship of the one true God, and the principles of justice that he taught, another thing you'll read in some of the prophets, so, you know, justice was not being done. He said, I sent you these prophets. Over and over again, I sent you prophet after prophet after prophet. And you didn't listen. And you didn't repent. And God will not endure evil forever. It's something that we need to be thinking about here.
Amen.
God will not endure evil forever. And he's gotten to the point, at this point in Israel's history, he says, that's enough. No more. And it really shouldn't be any surprise to them. It's not like he didn't warn them. The prophets, of course, we already talked about, they had the prophets telling them. It was also written into the law. Probably one of the more famous places that we could go would be in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And you can read there. You can read all the blessings that came from honoring the Lord and all the curses that would come if they didn't honor the Lord. And it all happened exactly the way that God said it would. So it's not like, sometimes human fathers and mothers can fail on this. They can miss. They get angry and they apply a punishment that doesn't fit the crime because, you know, they didn't explain themselves thoroughly because we're human beings. But God doesn't have that problem. He laid it all out and said, this is what you do. This is the result. But they didn't listen. Now they're suffering the consequences. But this family is blessed because they honored their father. And because no matter if the command seems arbitrary, I think it, again, because they were in Israel's land, that it was given to them that way, no matter, or perhaps even because it cost them something, God says there's a blessing for you. He says, you're going to always have somebody in your family that stands before me. Now, the meaning of that is unclear. There's debate as to what that means. There's some say that they ended up being incorporated into the tribe of the Levites, but I don't know whether we know that or not. The term is also used for temple service. It's also used more generally of prophets, priests, and kings. We only know that God has now given this family a special place before him because of their service. And the lessons that we can learn today are that God rewards faithfulness.
Amen.
Hold on to what you know. Stay faithful to what you know. If you believe it's right, do it. Even if sometimes it doesn't make a lot of sense to you. If you believe it's the right thing to do, Keep on doing it. Trust God to show you. You know, if you're messing up, he'll let you know.
Yes.
One way or the other. But trust him then to bring good from it as you remain faithful to what you believe he has told you to do.
Amen.
Because judgment is coming. You know, there's still a lot right with our country. We're standing here today. We're in this church, and Texas has been rather not as bad to churches as some of the other places. California's got a real issue right now. There are people standing up and fighting up against it, but churches are becoming under more pressure. There's a lot of things right, though, in our country, but there's also a lot of things wrong. We've killed 60 million innocent people. We're working as hard as we can to destroy the integrity of the family that God set up. That's the foundation for our society. We have committed injustice in the name of justice. We've turned away from the truth. And we've taught our children to turn away from the truth. And we've turned away from God. And God will act. What will be said of us? Are we going to be like this family, remaining faithful for generations, being an example to those around us of what a servant of God is really supposed to look like? So many, you look at it and see that the corporations, somebody pipes up and says something, and they're so afraid, they're so motivated by the profit motive that they immediately, as soon as somebody complains or says something, they cave in. And whether it's the homosexual lobby or whether it's abortion rights, whatever it is, they just fold like a cheap suit. Are we going to stand firm? Are we going to be like the rest of the nation and just give up and just do what they tell us to do? It is my prayer that all of us who call upon the name of the Lord, who call ourselves Christians, who call ourselves followers of Jesus, may we be known as the people who honor their Father. Stand firm and stand out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you for the hidden gems that are in there that you can dig for a lifetime and not find them all. Lord, it's my prayer. I do believe that we are coming to a critical point, whether it's the end point or not, only you know. But I see things happen that have, to my knowledge, have not happened before. We've had unrest, and we've had similar things in the past. But there seems to be some things setting up this time that's different than before, and that indicates a significant change. Regardless of who wins in November, things are going to change. And Lord, it's my prayer that you draw us together, that you draw us together as your people.
Amen.
That we as your people will humble ourselves and pray. Turn from our own wicked ways. Seek your face. That you will come and heal our land.
Amen.
Show us, Lord, as I've been praying a lot in my personal prayer life, show us, Lord, as a church, as this local church, as well as the church in general in this country, what we ought to be doing. Because as long as we have breath, we need to be praising your name and sharing your word.
Amen.
So that we can bring as many people as will come into your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.